Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. And our sanctuary is located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone who is looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come and worship with us any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. This morning's opening scripture is taken from chapter 15 of Exodus in the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading, and the title is The Song of Moses. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. He is my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord has become a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's army and his chariots he has cast into the sea. He has his chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become a glorious power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces, and in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble, and the blast from your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I have learned this week, for some reason, especially this week, about the power of prayer and how important it is for a believer's life. There have been things that have cropped up and issues and problems, but sometimes you get a little discouraged, but the Lord tells us to go to him in prayer. So I would encourage you as well. Go to the Lord in prayer. You don't have to deal with anything on your own. If you are a believer, you have help from above. So at this time, let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask him for his help. Galen. Oh Lord, we come to you, Lord, as humbly as we know how this morning. A congregation, Lord, that needs a touch from you. A congregation, Lord, that needs to know that you love them and that you care for them. But I'm not worried about that, Lord, because you always show yourself to us. You show yourself to us to be faithful, and you have never let us down. So much sickness is going on among us, Lord. Problems and issues. But Lord, you said it would not be easy for us. You said that we would have to endure some things, but this endurance, it builds up our faith. Build up our faith and help us, Lord, to be kind and loving to one another. Help us, Lord, to be kind and loving to those who don't know you. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for your dear son, Jesus, our Savior, who without him, we have no hope. And we thank you for that blessed hope that you've given us. As we go forward in our worship, Lord, be with us, guide us, and direct us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and stretch your arms out and look around and let's pass the peace to each other. Amen. Amen.
Light of the world, you step down into
the dark. You gotta put your arms out, man.
Open my eyes, let me see.
You got the
beauty that made this heart adore.
Don't worry about it, Tom. I guess you say that's easy for you to say. Don't worry, seriously. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right.
Here I am to worship.
What's going on, man?
Here I am to
worship. There you go. That's to get the blood circulating. Now I got to get all these people back together.
You're my God. You're all together loving. All together worthy. All together worthy.
Amen. Don't blame me. There you go. Are you ready for them children? Oh, this ought to be good. Okay.
If we could, let's make our way back to our seats.
God bless you, my brother. Amen. Amen. Huh? It's right there. In that chair. Okay.
If you would, please stand and join me in our call to worship. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in God's commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the world.
The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in their house, and their righteousness endures forever.
They rise in the darkness of light, upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous.
It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous
will never
be moved. They will be remembered forever. If you please be seated.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Hispanic Heritage Month. All right. So we've got two birthdays tomorrow, and it's nice about that their names rhyme. And then an anniversary on the 22nd. So tomorrow, the 18th, we have Simone Green and Gracie Bean.
All right.
All right, anniversaries. And never mind that it says gracias, thank you. It's Frank and Rose Garcia on the 22nd have their anniversary.
All right.
All right, so let's sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Amen.
Do we have any announcements?
Oh, you know I do. I have some announcements. Good morning. I just want you to let folks know that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. And also, I want to tell you that Charge Conference is coming soon also. Charge Conference will be held November the 12th. And it'll be in the bulletin. So November the 12th at 3:30, it'll be over in Building B, John Lemons Hall. Tentatively. Yes. I'm sorry, what now? Charge Conference. Charge Conference is where we get together to go over what we did that the past year and elect new officers for the coming year. In other words, it's preparation for the new year for the church. Any more questions about charge conference? Also, I probably ought to let Sandra make this announcement, but I'll just kind of preview you a little bit and let you know. She's working on a workshop for us, and this workshop is called the Spiritual Gifts Workshop. And this workshop is to help you and help me and all of us to find out how we can best be of service to each other here at Alamo and also to the community. We have a date tentative right now, but before I tell you that, I want to make sure that we get all our ducks in a row. So that's something that's coming, and that we're looking at around sometime in November, maybe around middle part of November, but there'll be more information coming on that. And I got one more. We have our missionary that's coming. I think I've mentioned this to you before. Moses. I wish I could pronounce his last name, so I'll just say Moses, and he's coming from Malawi. He'll be here October the 29th to worship with us in our service. So keep those dates in mind. Keep those dates in mind. Anyone else have an announcement? Yes. There's a microphone right there, Harriet.
You hear me?
Yes.
All right. We adopted Candlewood Elementary. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. And we've given them backpacks. We've given them cards. Last year we gave them 50 Thanksgiving baskets. And we said, kind of as background noise, that we were going to try to keep that up. Maybe give a little bit every month. Some people have done that, very few. Most of us have not, okay? But Thanksgiving is about 8 or 9 weeks away, okay? So we need to get busy with these baskets. I calculate that the baskets probably cost in the neighborhood of about $60, okay? I don't have an exact figure. I want you to prayerfully consider supporting one of those. Money is probably the best thing initially, okay? I put in a request to HEB through their corporate community investment area and asked them for 30 turkeys. We'll see if we get them. If we do, that's great. If we don't, we still need to buckle down and get busy with these baskets. I believe we can do this, okay? I believe we can do this. If you give money towards that, put it on your check, Thanksgiving baskets, okay?
Thank you. Anyone else with an announcement? All righty.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? Morning Has Broken. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the word. Sweet the rains blow.
morning.
Good morning.
Lord, help me understand that I need your word. I am tempted to neglect it in fear that it will expose my sin and need for change. Please give me the meekness to receive your word and the faith to believe that I need it desperately. Plant faith in me, Lord, and help me keep receiving even the words from your word that are tough to hear. Help me not resist your loving voice of correction. I confess that I have been angry and have not wanted to draw near to you. Please forgive me for being angry and not trusting you. Remove that anger from my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Let us prepare for our tithes and our offerings. Heavenly Father, often we become a selfish people. We seem to want more, and the more that we receive from your hand, the more we seem to want. Forgive us for our selfishness, Lord. Help us to be mindful that we only need for today, that each day you will provide to take care of us. So often, Lord, we overlook the needy, the ones that so often need your help. And we may be the only face of God that so many people see. Help us to be generous, not only today, but in our dealings with all. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is taken from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. Listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wise teachings of James. I realize how important it is not only have a genuine faith by trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, but to be a fruitful Christian in word and in deed. Keep me from worldly ways and from slipping back in the carnality of fleshly living. But may I grow in grace and in a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as I abide in him. May I bring forth much fruit to your praise and glory. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we prepare to receive the message of the Holy Spirit, I ask you, take a moment, breathe in, allow the Spirit of God to wash over you, let him fill you. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come seeking, we come thirsting for your word. We ask, Lord, that you be with Pastor Ted as he delivers the message from your Holy Spirit. Open his heart and his mind so that all he says may be your words, and all that we hear may be about your glory. We ask, Lord, that as we take the message that you have for each of us into our hearts, that we also take it with us when we leave here, so that the world may know of your glory and of salvation. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Kids, you want to come on up here? Angel, bring your daughter. You come with her. Come over here. So everybody can see you, okay? Suave, can you come over here? I'm going to need you to help me this morning. Can you come over here? And I'm going to get you to help. Thank you, Gayla. This morning, Miss Gayla was playing a song that's called Be Careful, Little Mouth, What You Say. And so the verse goes like this. It says, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above who is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. So this morning, I wanted to talk to you about what we say. And I kind of need your help. I'm not very good at drawing people, but this is September and it's fall, so I thought I would use pumpkins. So, Suave, can you hold this pumpkin? We're going to get the people in the audience to help us, in the congregation to help us. And could you hold this one? Now, Suave's holding the smiling, the happy pumpkin, okay? And what is it? She's holding the grumpy pumpkin. Okay? Now, I'm going to say some things, and I want you to point to the pumpkin that would have said that, and they'll hold it up. Okay? So you guys do this too. So if I said to you, wow, that's a really ugly sweater. Why would you wear something like that? Who would say that? Would the happy pumpkin say it or the grumpy pumpkin? Right? Hold your pumpkin up. You've got the grumpy one. There we go. Okay. So what if I said, wow, I really like your shirt. That's so pretty. Who would say that? The grumpy pumpkin or the happy pumpkin? The happy one, right? So, Suave, you hold yours up. There we go. Okay. You got the idea now. So the next person might say, where'd you get that bike? Did you find it in the trash? Who would say that? Grumpy one, right? And what if they said, did you get a new bike? I love that color. Who would say that? The happy pumpkin. That's right. You guys did a great job. Thank you so much. You know, we used to have a saying when most of us were growing up that said, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But words do hurt, don't they? When people say something like we have an ugly outfit on or our hair is messy or something, that kind of hurts, doesn't it? So who was the only perfect pumpkin that God created, or the perfect person? Who would that be?
Jesus.
Right, it was Jesus. And so you and I are not perfect, but what we have to do, if sometimes we accidentally say something that might be unkind, then we should just ask God to forgive us, right? Can you guys do that? Can you do that, Swabi? Can you ask God to forgive you if you say something ugly? Okay, so will you guys pray with me this morning? I'll say the line and then you guys can repeat, okay? Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us. Help us to think before we speak and not to use our words to hurt others. Help us to use our words to encourage others and to tell others about God and Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, kids. Thank you very much.
Amen. Well, good morning again, folks.
Good morning. Amen. You've heard
Jane talk about to the children about the power of our speech
and our words.
They can pack a very powerful punch, both negative and positive. Amen. It would be good for us as believers to be careful. Be careful about what we say to folks. I want to introduce you this morning to the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. And we want to make sure that you understand what our dear brother James is telling us here. James is telling the 12 tribes that are scattered among the nations, the Jews that have been converted to Christianity, he's telling them that they must endure temptation, that they have to go through quite a few things. But when he comes down to verse 19, he tells them, he talks about three of the most important things that a Christian can do. Everyone should be quick to listen, or quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The anger one, I can tell you a little bit about me long ago. I'll just kind of give you an insight of what anger, how it used to do me when I was just a lad, maybe 10 or 11 years old. I was pretty small then, and people would always pick on me because of my size. But the sad part about it was not the guys that would pick on me, it would be the girls. And one day, I went down this street, and this girl, she came up, and she took my lunchbox from me, took it, ran me home. I ran home crying. I didn't dare tell my mother about it because I knew what the answer would that be. But anyway, I decided I was going to get revenge on her. I'm not going to let her treat me that way. So I got my friends together. Got my friend, and we met her at the bus stop. And boy, we chucked rocks and chucked her all the way home. She went screaming and hollering. And one thing about it, she didn't bother me anymore. But I felt terrible. I just felt awful. I said, and I really didn't understand how I felt. But now I could not, anger was something that I could not abide. Anger has a way of just, I don't know, eating you up inside. So I would caution you this morning, if you're angry at someone or something or other people, get over it. Amen? Get over it. Because it's not going to do you any good. It only makes you feel worse. Now, James is writing this to followers, and he's writing it is to us. And he doesn't have a whole lot of patience for those who only listen and never act. And if you read the book of James, you're going to notice that the whole theme of this book is doing, being a doer, listening, and being a doer of God's word. So we're going to take a look at where it all began. Where it all began. Now, he may sound kind of condescending or harsh, but his letter is motivated by love and compassion for the health of his church. And his seeming lack of patience and apathy, it could be motivated because the church was undergoing heavy persecution. They didn't have time to mix words or be nice or play around. He had to tell them the truth. And that's what we have to do today as believers, as followers. Jesus is coming back soon, and we don't have a whole lot of time to play games. Amen? We must be about the Father's work because we don't know when he's coming back. So in those days, persecution was a life, could be a life or death choice. But today, it may not be as hard, but you're still going to have to undergo some persecution. So the question that begs us today is this. Would we be more inclined to act on the teachings of Jesus if we knew that our life was on the line like the early church? Would the external persecution that comes from outside, would it motivate our faith? That's a hard question to answer, so you meditate on that. Meditate on that. Now, you may have heard this parable before. It's in Matthew 21:28-32. And in this particular passage, Jesus is making a very powerful point about listening and doing. He says that the tax collectors and the prostitute will be entering the kingdom of head of the chief priests and the Pharisees because they did what? They listened and responded to the message of John the Baptist. So with that in mind, here's an important question that comes. Let us go to that chapter, if you would. Go with me, please, to Matthew 21, if you have your Bibles or your Bible app. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. And let's read what Jesus is telling these dear folks. It's called the parable of the two sons. Starting at verse 28, he says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work.' He said, 'Go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. And then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I will, sir.' But he didn't even go. He didn't go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. And Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Now, the Lord did not mix his words. He was very plain about what he had to say. And I imagine he made a lot of folks mad on this. But he says he was a good, James was a good pastor. He was a good pastor, and he cared for his congregation. But he always got to the point. He was very blunt about it, and that's a good thing. You know, folks, I got to tell you, sometimes you're going to have to say what the Lord wants you to say. Amen? You're going to have to say, sometimes we say things on our mind, but if the Lord puts something on your heart to tell a person, then you need to tell that person. And you don't need to mix words about it. You need to say, hey, the Lord says this, 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 and you're doing this wrong. And you're going to get slapped down for it, but you can't afford to mealy mouth and not tell folks what they need to hear. So in that particular passage, Jesus is making a very powerful point about listening and doing. Jesus said that the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they'll be getting into heaven even before all the chief priests and the Pharisees. And you know why? Because they listened. They didn't just listen. They responded to the message of John the Baptist. So, with that in mind, here's an important question that comes directly from the two sons' parable. Which of the two did what his father wanted? Now, I don't know about you, but this parable invites me to think long and hard about which son I probably resemble in this parable. This morning, are you listening to the words of Jesus? Am I hearing his voice through the encouragement of the Bible? And does listening even matter if there's no response? So James begins with addressing his hearers as beloved brothers. Or you could say this another way, the church family that I love. And he was a good pastor. He deeply cared for his congregation. In fact, he cared so much that he would share with them the blunt truths that followed throughout the rest of this letter. So beginning with the encouragement to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You see, I've heard it said that we have two ears and one mouth. So we should listen twice as much as we speak. But I tell you, this advice would probably prove itself to be quite useful if we would simply respond accordingly. When I was in the Navy, we would have to go before the old man or the captain because we'd done something wrong. And the old man, he would always give us the chance to answer for ourselves. And he would tell us this. He would say, now make sure that you engage your brain before you speak. Because sometimes we say things that we really don't think about. And in that situation, whatever you say can be used against you. Amen? Be careful. Think about what you're going to say to folks before you do that. Because you know what, folks? Once you say that, it's out there. Once you say those mean and ugly words, they're out there. The hurt has been done. You can't come back and say, oh, gee, I'm sorry, I want to take those back. You can't do that. Be careful what you say. You can only apologize and go on, but you've hurt that person. You've hurt that person. Be careful about what you say. Be careful. Be slow to get angry. James says this, he says in verse 20, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Not only can anger lead to sin and ruin, it can ruin our witness to others, it can also ruin the relationships that we have around us. Who in here likes to be around a negative person all the time? I don't. If I'm around someone negative all the time, you know what that does? It makes me negative. It'll make you negative. We like to be around positive folks, amen? We would like to be around folks that's not always, you know, it's all right to complain. I'm not saying not to. But you don't want to complain all the time and be angry and be mean and all the time. Not only can anger lead to sin and ruin our witness to others, it can tear up the relationships we have around us. When anger leads to sin, it does not produce the righteousness of God. I learned about my anger in my 52 years of marriage. And my dear wife, she taught me all about that anger thing. Amen? I can remember our first, our first Thanksgiving. First Thanksgiving dinner in El Paso, Texas. We'd been married about a month. And I said, "Hun, I sure would like to have a custard pie." So I went out and got a custard pie, a frozen custard pie. And she tried to cook it, and we cooked it. She cooked it, so it's time to eat. I saw the pie, and it was still kind of watery. But anyway, got mad and threw the pie out the back door. I was hot then, boy. And I said, "You know what? Big Mama would never have a pie like that." You know what my wife told me? "The next time that you want a pie, you go get Big Mama to fix it for you." So I learned right away, marriage has a way of simmering down your anger. Amen. It has a way of putting all of that in perspective. And I told you that little story to tell you this, that you can't stay angry long. Amen. Don't stay angry long, because it'll lead to sin. And the worst part is, it does not produce the righteousness of God. So be careful with your anger. James goes on in verse 21. He says, "Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Listen to God's word. Listen to godly instructions. Listen to what godly people are telling you to help you. And when you do that and respond to it, that will be a blessing to you. Because it says that God's word, it's able to save our souls. In response to this particular verse, a commentator by the name of John Piper said this: "So the word of God is implanted in us and is at work in us, and it abides in us. And James 1:21 said it saves us." I cannot easily overstate how profoundly powerful and important the word of God is for our lives. If the word of God does not rank up there number one in your life, then we need to do a reality check on our life, because it should be number one in our life. Nothing apart from God himself is more important and powerful than his word. But in order to get the benefit of his word, we must receive the word into our lives. And he says we must learn to throw off everything else, every hindrance that entangles us, and every deception that looks to steal, and all along with receiving. And this is the primary message of James, of the book of James. Along with receiving, we are encouraged to act. And of course, the next line from this passage of James is one that a whole lot of commentators believe to be the very central message of this letter. It goes like this: "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." I hate using football illustrations, but I think this one may work. Can you imagine a football player catching a perfectly thrown ball, but he just stands there and he looks at the ball? Can you imagine that? He catches a ball and he looks at it. What good is that? Or it says if a doctor delivers a perfectly healthy baby, only to have the parents just stare at the baby for the rest of his life. What good is that? Now, as I said, these kind of odd, their examples are odd, and it's hard to imagine anything like that happening. But that's the point that James is trying to make to us. And he goes on to expand it in these next two verses. He says to simply receive the word, the message, the teaching, the encouragement, the sermon, the devotional, etc. Isn't God's best for you? His best is found in what? In the response to his word. Oh, you can listen to the best sermons all day on the radio or at church, but if you don't respond to them, what good are they? What good are they? At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." This is Matthew 7, 24 through 25. That is an excellent verse to ponder and even to memorize. So as believers, we are called to be people of action. You see, if you notice the Great Commission in Matthew 28, it begins with the little two-letter word. It says what? Go. That's an action word. And we have to go. And in verse 125, James encourages us. He says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty and persevere," this is God's word, "being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." In other words, what you hear, you act upon it. What you hear today from God's word, you take this home and you act upon it. Don't forget God's word. Please don't take your eyes off Christ. Persevere in the calling and respond to the message of freedom that you've been given. Now, Pastor James also gives us some very practical instruction in verses 26 and 27. It says, James is passionate about the words we use and the power of this little tiny member right here, the tongue. I got to tell you, folks, this little fellow right here will get you in more trouble. It will. It will get you in more trouble than you can ever bargain for. And it's such a little thing. And it seems like we could take that tongue and, as I said, we could put a bridle on it. But listen to what he says here. "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person is religion is worthless." If you are a religious person and you go around gossiping and talking bad about folks, you don't bridle. James says that person's religious is worthless. Now, if you're like me, we've all said some things that we regret. And I know that I speak for most of everyone in the congregation when I say that there are things we said that we wish would take back. And he's not talking about the occasional slip of foolishness, but rather the unwillingness to restrain one's word. The unwillingness to see the power of words to build others up or tear them down. If you got something bad to say about a person, I would encourage you to go to that person. Don't tell me about it. And don't tell your friend, and don't get on Facebook or whatever, Instagram. You go to that person and you say, "Man, Tom, I just don't like you, all right? You know, I don't like the way you look. I don't like the car you drive. I don't like nothing about you." Okay?
Fair enough.
I'm not going to go to Gene and say, "Man, Gene, that Tom, he's got the sorriest car I've ever seen in my life." You know, don't do that. Because you know why? That leads to sin. And that is an unbridled tongue that is doing what? Tearing down your brother. Instead of tearing down your brother, sister, you ought to use positive words to reinforce it. Now, if something is wrong, it's wrong. But I would still encourage you that if you see something wrong with Ted, please tell Ted. Please tell me. You know, the worst thing you can do is gossip behind someone's back. Amen? The very worst thing you can do. Because what does that do when you go behind
someone's back and you talk about it. What does that do? It tears them down, doesn't it? Because it, of course, maybe makes you look good. But you may look good in front of you, but with Christ, you're not looking so good because he doesn't like that. You know, be careful with that little thing. You know, be careful with it. And you know what, folks? You can't bridle this little tongue. You can't do it. I've tried. The only way that you can control this little tongue is through how the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, please help me when I get in here today not to say nothing wrong and be mean to somebody. You know, help me not to go somewhere and start talking about folks. You know, but say positive things about a person. You know what happens when you come into a group of folks and they're running down another person? You step up and you say, you know what? I know him and he does a pretty good job. Now, I like the way the things he does. Say something positive, you know. And then if you want to go tell that person, you go tell that person face to face. The person who won't go and see an anger management counselor, or one who won't receive correction for their filthy or vulgar mouth, this person, and this is doubly bad, if they profess to be a Christian, they deceive themselves into thinking that their words don't matter. Folks, your words do matter. They matter a lot. They matter a whole lot. And conversely, if you don't want to have a worthless religion, but if you want to have a pure and undefiled one, this is what James say do. This is it. He says, visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and keep yourself unstained from the world. You know what that is, folks? What he's saying there, that is being a doer of God's word and not just a hearer. You are putting in action what you've heard and what you've in the scripture. You're putting the words of Christ into action. You know, that's being a person of action and not meaningless talk. Another way of saying this would be this. Stop talking all about all the good you're going to do. Stop talking about all the good what you're going to do for others. And start doing good for others. I quit doing New Year's resolutions because all I was doing was lying to the Lord. I stopped doing it. I would encourage you this morning, instead of talking about doing good, do good. Put your words into action. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, I got to admit, this particular passage of scripture and the book of James itself, it can be a tough pill to swallow. There's much to feel conviction about and much to consider in our lives when we truly stop and consider what things we are actually doing in response to our hearing. Listen to these things. Do my words align with the Christian witness I profess? Am I letting my anger turn into sin? What have I done lately in response to my faith? Do I talk more than I act? Does listening matter, even if I don't respond? Now, these are just a few questions, and you probably have some in your mind. But this is what happens. The questions come from a conviction that comes from this passage of Scripture. It's important to remember this, though, dear ones. Remember who's behind it all. And this is the very heart of God. The same God who is compassionate and loving and sent his only son, one and only son, to redeem mankind. The same God, he wants us to be what? Real about our faith. And to think clearly about things that may be hindering us from experiencing our best in him. So this morning, if there's something that's holding you back from your call to action today, would you consider letting it go? I wonder this morning, would you commit to praying this week that God will give you the courage to go, as the Great Commission says, and to respond in righteousness to the goodness of the gospel message? And remember this, dear ones, always. Be slow to listen, slow to speak,
slow to anger. These are the actions that God wants us to do so that we might maintain the righteousness that he has for us. And remember this, there is no righteousness in us. The only thing that makes us, when I say us, believers, righteous, is Christ in our hearts. This is what God sees in us. He sees Christ. Would you comply with God's word this morning? Would you be a doer and not just a hearer? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God in heaven, give us the courage to be people of action. Help us not only to hear and receive, but also to respond, Lord, in righteousness to the high calling of Christ. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. The invitation goes out this morning. The altar is open for anyone who may be having some issues with their little member up here. This may be getting you in trouble. Amen. It gets me in trouble sometimes. Maybe you come to the point where you say, I can't deal with this anymore. I would invite you this morning to give that to the Lord. Say, Lord, control my tongue. Help me not to be a gossiper. Help me to be one that speaks positive messages to people, not evil. Help me not to be the one to run down folks, but to build them up. Help me, Lord, not to destroy bridges, but to build bridges for each other, for the community. The invitation is open to anyone who wishes this morning. Maybe you're walking down the wrong path and you want to get on the right path. Maybe you don't even know the Lord this morning. This would be an awesome time to get to know him. The altar is open for all who wishes to come.
Will you stand for our hymn of invitation? Open my eyes that I may see.
Still working on you. Watch that tongue. Watch that anger. Do what the word says. Amen?
Amen.
Trust in the Lord. He'll guide you and take you wherever you need to go. Don't get so mad at folks that you just can't stand them. Amen? You see, never do that. And what does the scripture say? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen? It's all right to get mad at sin. And it's all right to be angry, but don't let that anger linger. God bless you this morning, and I pray that you will be a doer of God's word and not just a hearer. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue to keep our country in our thoughts and prayers. All of our
military, our first responders, everyone that serves us, give thanks to them and continue to ask in prayers for God's, all of his children around the world. Let's continue to keep all of our homebound members in our thoughts and prayers, and anybody's family that's not listed, you asking for prayers for them. Homer is asking prayers, along with the Gonzalez family. A friend of his that is Homer's mentioned many times in the last year, Joaquin Gonzalez, he finally passed away this past Friday. So prayers of support for the Gonzalez family. Lord, hear our prayers. And Homer's also asking prayers for another neighbor of his, Gregory Puentes. He has sent a message that he is thankful for all the prayers that we've been sending his way, and he's holding his own. So, Lord, hear our prayers for Gregory Puentes and his family. And Donna Walker is asking continued prayers of for her daughter Angela. She had successful cancer surgery this past Tuesday, so hallelujah, thanks be to God. But she has a long ways to go for recovery, so continued prayers for Angela and for the Walker family. Lord, hear our prayers. She's also mentioning that Angela is at home. Donna's taking care of her. And thanks be to God for that. You've been able to do that, Donna. Also, prayers for Wanda Wodachewski for a vehicle and for blessings in her relationship with Richard Solis. Lord, hear our prayers for Wanda and for Richard, that he answers their prayers. And if anybody, just Lord, hear our prayers. Thanks be to God for these two people. Also, want to talking to Karen earlier, and Doug is going to start a new treatment this week. So, and it's actually oral. So, but I was out there visiting earlier, and they're both doing well. Karen said Doug's father is doing okay, along with his caregiver. So, prayers of support for the Lawrence and for the Miller families. Lord, hear our prayers. And thanks be to God that we have Karen and Doug as members of our church and as our friends. So, hallelujah. Also, and I got a message, but Dixie had also informed me before service. Lifelong friend of mine that I grew up with, her husband, they had to rush him to the hospital yesterday or last night. Last night? And they had to rush him into surgery. Don't know any details, but anyway, I'm asking prayers for the Martinez family. So, Lord, hear our prayers. Thanks be to God. Now, let's rejoice in God. Go outside, enjoy this beautiful Sunday, continue praying for rain, and just have a wonderful, beautiful day and a week of giving thanks to our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Sandy brightened my day when she came in this morning. And Miss Bonnie this morning is with us, so hallelujah for Bonnie and for Sandy. Thanks be to God that they're here.
Thanks be to God that we're all here.
Please lift up Selma Shike this morning. She called in and said that she was ill, wouldn't be able to make it this morning. Be in prayer for Tom Kincaid. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to come to the throne of mercy, the throne of grace. Help us, Lord. We need you this morning. We need you walking beside us every step of the way. We need you to guide us and to help us, to show us the right way. Lord, when we can't see where we're going, we're dependent on you to lead us the right direction. Bless this congregation, Lord. Help those that are sick. Be with those who wanted to be here and couldn't. Help those, Lord, who are struggling right now. Don't know which way to turn. Shine the light of the gospel their way, Lord, so that they may know which way to go. Be with those folks that are walking up and down Foster Road, Lord, here. Walking up and down the street with nowhere to go, nothing to eat. Have mercy on them, Lord. Have mercy on them, Lord. Help us to show you that we are true believers by helping them. And Lord, as we go from this place, we ask that you would hold our hands, help us and guide us. Help us to realize that the battle is beyond these walls. And Lord, that we need your strength. We need your power. We can't do it on our own. We look to you for our help and strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we ask this in your blessed name. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we depart from here today, let us remember those less fortunate than ourselves, and continue to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe, and let us join here again next Sunday to receive the message that our pastor will bring us. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn, Victory in Jesus? I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
My Savior forever.
Of his cleansing.